This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is Martin Spriggs, and this is show 372 for Tuesday, December 16th, 2014. Show about technology, ministry, and all those intersections that we try and ferret out for you each week. Thank you so much for joining us, and joining me as usual, my podcasting partner, my buddy, my person that actually makes us this show possible. Because this show could easily go on without me. Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin. And yeah, at some point I need to do the introduction so I can say all those nice things about you. Because we know the show doesn't want to go on without you. So it's just not true.
We enjoy the time together. So these 7 odd years, whatever it is. So 372 times. We're trekking towards number 400, which we're going to do a little... episode numbering magic over the next couple weeks. We're going to have a kind of a neat interview, and we're going to break that into two parts and do a 373A and B or something like that, so that we can wind up show number 400 during the Wells Tech Conference, which is next year, next summer, July 9th through 11th, I believe. So that'll kind of be a special episode. But it's been a long time we've been doing this.
That's right. Hard to believe, but as we near the year end and kind of reflect a little bit on 2014, it does give you a chance to pause and appreciate 7 years of it.
And you know, I got to show you what I got from Donna today.
Oh my! Gonna be comfy.
I got some San Francisco 49ers slippers. I was in need of slippers and. She answered the call, and I'll wear these proudly. Although the Niners aren't doing so well these days, slippers are always welcome. So shout out to Donna LeBlanc, who's retiring at the end of this year. She'll actually be doing a little part-time work for us. But Donna has been serving the technology group here for, I want to say, 13 years. She preceded me and you, and has really been a faithful servant, and we wish her God's blessings in her semi-retirement.
Right. She's the administrative assistant in the area and one of those people that really does make everything tick. We'd all be lost without Donna.
She does all of the stuff that we need to get done for Final Web training and, you know, just a ton of other stuff. So works with our ShopWells partners, which is no easy task, just 101 other things. So thanks, Donna. Blessings. All right, Sally, we got a show to do, and we thought that we'd take a little bit kind of a fun approach to the show this week. We're winding down toward the end of the year, and one thing that came up on the show a couple weeks ago was our smartphones and what we had on those home screens, and I made some kind of comment that, well, it'd be nice to compare what you and I feel are kind of the vital apps that have rose to the level of home screen status. We both use iPhones at the moment, and we thought it would kind of be fun to do a little compare and contrast and look at what each other has on their home screens and do a little bit of discussion. So it's kind of a show of kind of all picks, so to speak, and figuring out, you know, what makes sense to carry along with us and have one-click access to.
So, yeah, that's prime real estate that we're talking about, your home screen of your smartphone. You want to have easy access to the things that are most valuable to you. And just to backtrack a little, this came up as you were discussing the layout of your home screen and the fact that with the iPhone 6, which is the version you have a lot more icons on your home screen. So as we compare and show screenshots and things, I'm on a 5S, and I have one less row of icons to make use of. But some of the things that you stated had to do with the layout being easy to access on the
kind
larger screen.
Yeah, with, with my stubby fingers, I find it hard to kind of stretch up to the top of the larger screen. So the technique that I use is to push all of the most used apps to the bottom, which in iPhone land means you have to fill your screen with a bunch of apps to push them to the bottom. If you don't fill your screen, then the last of your apps is kind of halfway up the screen, which defeats the purpose. Now, the iPhone, at least with iOS 8, or at least with the iPhone 6, has this ability to kind of double tap. I don't think it's available on the 5S. You can kind of quickly or lightly tap the home button, and it'll kind of window shade down half the screen so you can kind of reach the top, but I don't find that overly helpful or intuitive, so I've decided just throw all the important apps toward the bottom. And of course, you've got the tray at the bottom, and maybe that's where we should start, Sally. So what things do you have in your tray, which basically goes along for the ride no matter what screen you're on? I mean, that's super status down there.
That's right. Only room for 4 icons on the iPhone screen in that tray area.
Yeah.
And I should probably share my screen, and that would make it a little more easy. But for those of you watching the video, you can see a screenshot of my iPhone home screen. And in the tray, in the number one spot, I think, is my camera. And, you know, this is going to vary person to person. I've polled a lot of people, and nobody told me their camera app was most important. But I think that's probably the most important thing I have on my phone, because I love to take pictures in the moment. And so camera is number one for me down there. And right along beside it, the Wells mobile app, so I can get easy access to all my devotional materials.
Kudos for that.
Yeah.
By the way, there will be a new version of the mobile app coming out as soon as Apple decides to get to review the app. I submitted it last Friday. They're still sitting on it. It is out for Android. And breaking news, it's on the Amazon App Store now, too, so you can get it on the Kindle Fire and the Fire Phone and everything, you know, Kindle as well. So that's good news. But let me go back to your camera. I noticed on your screen, your screenshot there, that you also have Instagram. Now, that's way at the top. Mm-hmm. How do you determine when to use the camera and when to use Instagram? Because you can go into Instagram and take a photo, too, right?
Well, that's right, but I never do that. I always take it with my camera app, and then you can select it in Instagram. So
it's a two-step process for you. So some photos you don't put through Instagram, some you just take.
Correct. And sometimes I use the camera for video, and I guess you can do video with Instagram too. I'm just an Instagram photo person, and I only selectively do that. Instagram is sharing, you know, on the internet, and I'm not ready to do that with all my photos. So I use the camera app primarily to take pictures.
Okay. So what else is in your tray at the bottom?
Yeah, also there is the Safari browser. So we do a lot of, let me Google that for you real quick as we're having discussions around the table or wherever it may be. And so I do go to the Safari browser quite a bit. And then finally the phone app. So, you know, I actually use my phone for making phone calls. And so that's important to me too.
Okay. So let me do the same. If I can pull up my screen, let me know if you can see it.
Almost. Yep, I see it there.
There it is. Okay. So in my tray, very similar, the 50-50. Two things that we have alike are the phone and Safari, and I have them there for the same reason. Obviously, it's a phone, so I need to use that. I also use that to get at my contacts. I don't have a separate contacts item on my home screen. I just go through the phone to get through contacts, and Safari, obviously, to browse the web and do those kinds of things. I have mail there because I do check my mail fairly regularly. And one thing I really like about the iPhone, and Android works the same way with their built-in mail app, is a unified inbox. So when I check my mail, I'm seeing not just work email, and some people would say that's a negative where, hey, they want totally separate lives, you know, personal and professional, but I can't seem to do that, and, you know, that's okay with me, I guess. So I have 3 or 4 email accounts depending on, you know, what the usage what the use case is. So I'll funnel them all into my mail app. And a lot of people kind of poo-poo the mail app on iPhone, but because they use other third parties or whatever. Mailbox is one, and there's a few others. But I, for one, like the Mail app on iOS. I think it does a nice job with the swipe to delete. Works nicely. The forwarding and all that seems pretty intuitive. So that's why I keep that down there. And then the final app I have in my tray is my SMS or my iMessage application, because it seems like increasingly people prefer to communicate via that tool. So it's a matter of just kind of keeping that handy. And certainly all my family and definitely my kids, I talk to them more over iMessage than I do anything else. But even people at work will message me, and it's kind of convenient to do that, especially if you're in a meeting or in a place where you can't answer the phone or maybe aren't checking email. So those are the things that sit in my tray.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with you. I have both of those other icons on my home screen, and I was going to bring out the exact same point about my mail. I love the fact that all my mail from different segments of my life, different roles that I play, hearkening back to our productivity discussion last week, that all those roles come together in my mail app and that I can easily manage my email there. And, sometimes my mail count says 120 or something really depressing like that, especially at the holidays. I don't know if you're getting bombarded like I am.
Oh, it is.
Every retail out there. Yeah, 3 or 4 times a day.
People that didn't know even had my email. I mean, I'm getting Target emails now, and I said, how did that happen?
But I do love that swiping. That's new with iOS 8, the swipe to delete, and that really allows you to go through your mail very quickly, quicker than I can in my Gmail account, online. And
in your browser, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I would agree. I would agree.
So I like that. And, text messaging is finding its way into my life more and more. And it was funny. We went out to dinner Friday night. Had a lovely time Friday night. Went out to Buffalo Wild Wings and then to a Divers concert. I don't know if you've ever heard the Divers, Martin, but they're a band out of Bethany Lutheran College.
Oh, yeah. I think you mentioned them before.
Oh, they're so much fun. They had a great Christmas
acapella
concert.
Acapella group?
No, they're not acapella, but they're uber entertaining, and they just do a really great job. And so anyway, long story, but we went out to dinner at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I gave her my name, and she said, "What's your phone number? Have you ever been asked for your phone number as you're checking in?"
Yep.
So they texted me when our table was ready. I'm standing, away from her, but I got a text before she even called my name. So, yeah, the world is going text-friendly for sure.
Yeah, there's only been a couple restaurants I've been to that have done that. Giordano's in downtown Chicago I know does that. That's the one I remember most, but I think there was maybe one other, which makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I suppose they still have to, maybe they have to yell out your name if you don't have a phone that they can text, but those people I'm sure are fewer and fewer and farther between. So
I definitely make use of that messaging app.
Yeah. So let me ask you, on your home screen, what kind of, do you have some kind of organizational approach, or is it just kind of how things line up? Do you do it by row? Are the important things at the top? And what's your organizational strategy on your home screen, Sally?
Wow, that's a great question, Martin. You should really get into the interview business or something. yes, I do have an organizational strategy, and I think it's going to differ from yours, because I know when we talked about this recently, you talked about not really liking folders. And I'm kind of a fan of folders.
You love folders, apparently.
I do. I have a lot of folders.
You have only 2 screens, on your entire device, but you've got many more apps than that.
Right, exactly. And I'm also kind of a minimalist, I think. I really don't like the overwhelming look of the screen being full of icons. So I have just my really go-to icons represented here, and I have my most important ones along the top instead of along the bottom like you described on your screen. So we're kind of polar opposites when we organize our screens, apparently. But I do use Instagram a lot. I have my Bible app there, and I have Facebook there. I have messaging, Pinterest, and the Weather Channel, and those are probably the main things I go to. I use my phone more for in my pocket during the day and on the spot kind of things. But if I'm going to actually read or interact a whole lot with it, I'm more apt to be on my iPad. I just like the larger screen. And so these are more the in the moment kind of apps. And even my Bible app, I don't use very much on my phone. I use it a lot more on my iPad. But it's nice because I'm logged in and I can see.
I'm still a little shy in Bible class. Debbie and I both pull out our phones for the Bible, so we've gotten that far, but we have not gotten into the habit of taking the our iPads along, which would make too much sense, I guess, because it's much easier to take notes, and I'm still plunking out notes, you know, during class, you know, on the iPhone. We just maybe feel too conspicuous, and maybe your church is a little bit different where it's a little more accepted, but there's maybe, I think there is one other lady, older lady, actually, older than we are, older than Debbie and I am, who brings her iPad, but we just haven't done that. So
Kevin and I both bring our tablets to Bible class.
Are you the only ones?
I think there's been one or two others. I do think it was someone older than me, now that I'm thinking about it, that had their iPad along. But okay. Yeah.
Well, we're going to see that more and more. In fact, in my work on the hymnal committee, I serve on the technology committee subcommittee. We're talking big time about electronic versions of the hymnal, and, you know, what does the future look like 10 years from now? You know, are people going to be, you know, bringing tablets, or are tablets just going to be available because the cost will be so cheap, you know, in some congregations? So interesting to think about, but in this case, you know, it's I totally get why you would think that, or why you do the kind of the iPad thing in a lot of different circumstances. It's just a neater. It's just a more usable experience, you know, versus the tiny screen that you've got. Even with the iPhone 6, it's not that much bigger than the 5S. Maybe the 6 Plus could kind of rival, you know, the iPad Mini, but still, you know, it's just a more pleasant experience.
I think it's more pleasant for my eyes. That's my main
me too.
issue. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, you saw there. I enjoy, you know, the social aspects of Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, and having the camera to tie into all of that, you know, is important. Checking the weather is big for me. And then, you know, my Bible app. And I do have some puzzles and things like that on there. If I'm caught with a few minutes and need something to do, I can play Sudoku. That's always a go-to. But that's the main stuff on my home screen.
Okay. I've got a bunch of apps, and I don't do. I have one folder, so maybe I should start there. And it's kind of in the middle of the pack.
I'm not seeing your screen this time, though. Just all black.
It's showing here, and I hopefully okay. Are.
Because you're presenting to everyone. I don't know.
It's up there. Just trust me.
Okay.
So in the middle of the pack, I have a one my sole folder on my home screen, and that's called Microsoft. And that's with all the Microsoft apps, because Microsoft is kind of now committed to making iOS apps. I find them pretty useful, even on the phone. So Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, you know, those are all available, as well as a couple others. So I kind of collected them all together. I didn't want to take up too much real estate. But on my bottom row, which is where I spend, you know, where the apps that I jump into the most, or at least in a greater frequency, or the bottom two rows maybe, the calendar. And you, did you mention calendar on your home screen?
Not yet. It's in one of my folders. I do use it.
Okay. Calendar is something I need access to fairly frequently, because when I'm going from meeting to meeting, I need access to that, and it also shows me what day it is, so I'm often wondering as I'm signing stuff, you know, what day am I on? So calendar is right there on the bottom row, as well as OneNote. OneNote does not live in my Microsoft folder, because I use it more often than any other Microsoft app, and that's basically where I capture everything, you know, all the notes that I take, all the receipts that I get. I take a picture in OneNote, and that's where they get captured, and many of them get OCR'd there. So OneNote is something that I go into on a very regular basis. Day One, which is my journaling app, I think that was my pick last week. So that I just get I just kind of give a primary spot, because I want to remind myself that, yeah, I want to journal and make sure that I jump in there on a regular basis. And the last app that I have on that front row, that top row, or the bottom row, which is my primary row, is Glimpse. And Glimpse, I think I've talked about in the past on the show, made it a pick maybe even. And actually, it's a shortcut to a particular, I don't think they call them recipes, but different things that I glimpse a lot, and that's something I call heading home. I have about a half-hour commute, you know, to go home, and I do a little bit of traveling as well, and this is helpful. I can send a glimpse right to Debbie, and what Glimpse simply does is it gives her a link to the app that tracks my progress. So it gives an ETA, tells her what road I'm on, how fast I'm going, gives her kind of all that information and when she could expect me home for dinner or whatever. So that's just one click. When I jump in the car, I tap my Glimpse app, and it does all the rest. All I have to do is click one button past that, and I'm done.
Wow, that sounds like something that would win you a Husband of the Year award or something like that. That's pretty thoughtful.
Takes a little bit more than that, but she finds it helpful.
I'm sure.
And then that
does.
Second row, while I'm talking about kind of the primary apps, I have the Wells mobile app there, of course, and my Bible app. And as I mentioned, I do use that in Bible class, and I use it for daily devotions too. I have a couple of Time of Grace devotions that I'm going through the Bible app. And then the last two on the bottom two rows are fitness apps. My Fitness Pal, which I've talked about in the past, because I do calorie count and I want to make sure that I'm watching my sodium and all the things that heart healthy eating brings with it. So I'm constantly going in there after every meal, tracking what I'm putting in my body. Track weight there too, although it has not been a problem. I'm kind of at the optimal. I think I'm at an optimal weight at this point. Forced into that scenario. And then Runtastic, which I've mentioned in the past, which tracks my treadmill work or other exercises that I'm doing, and I can throw them right into Runtastic, and it syncs with my Fitness Pal, so I've got I get credit for the exercises that I'm doing, and I can eat more if I so chose. So those are the big apps at the bottom of the screen.
Excellent. I have a health folder and have my Fitness Pal and Runkeeper is the one that I choose to track my walking in and stuff. So kind of parallel there. I don't have a Microsoft folder. I have a Google folder instead on my home screen.
That's
but,
okay.
One more worth mentioning, and maybe it's not on my home screen if we're being technical, but I do go to shopping apps these days because oftentimes they'll give you a coupon that you can just flash your phone in front of the checkout girl, and she can give you a 40% discount off of something or whatever. So I've done it at Kohl's and Michael's and Hobby Lobby, and so I don't use them very often, but when I'm in those stores, I always try to remember to see if there's a coupon that I can apply.
Cool. Yeah, I've got a shopping folder on my, I think it's on my third screen, and it's got things like Best Buy, eBay, Amazon, Groupon, REI, places that I frequent on a fairly frequent basis. Just a couple other mentions on my home screen. Of course, I've got a weather app. I think you do too. I use WeatherBug. One of the recent additions on my home screen, in addition to kind of the staples like Google Maps, I have Pandora and Audible and YouTube, that kind of stuff, and some news apps. I added recently Duolingo. Duolingo is a kind of a Rosetta Stone, a free Rosetta Stone kind of app where I'm trying to still learn Spanish a little bit at a time. And Duolingo is free and very well done. So if you're interested in learning a foreign language or brushing up on one for a trip or whatever, Duolingo walks you through. And it's kind of a really nice interface, and they've done a nice job, especially for free, you're looking to learn a new language. So that's on the top row of my home screen.
Furthest from your thumb, huh?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Well, one last question about home screens. I have a very boring background. Sally, yours is kind of pretty. Makes winter look almost glamorous according to the home screen or the background on your home screen. Do you change that by season, or how do you work your backgrounds?
I'm more in tune to my iPad background, honestly. I just have something pleasing to the eye. I change the lock screen more often, because I see that when I'm unlocking it. But, Yeah, I'm not that into backgrounds. My son, who just got his first smartphone, he's all about dragons. And so every day it's like, look, Mom, I got a new dragon on my screen. So, yeah, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. I did a very, very non-scientific survey this afternoon, Martin, in prep for the show at the last minute. And a couple of my social media friends chimed in with other things that are their favorites. From Pastor Nate Selno, he likes Mile Log and keeps up with his mileage that he's doing in that pastor role.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There are a bunch of apps like that. Actually, there's the one that Rob Gunther mentioned, too. Is it called Automatic?
Yeah, he uses that with a tool in his car that plugs into his computer in his car.
Which you can do mileage tracking, too. But, mm-hmm. yeah, for anybody that needs to record their mileage, yeah, there are plenty of good apps out there mm-hmm. like this one.
Right. My friend Bob Martins, who works here at MLC with me, mentioned Reader.
Reader, awesome. RSS feed reader, right?
Right. We didn't mention any RSS feed readers between the two of us. I'm kind of surprised. But
well, I use kind of Flipboard mm-hmm. for that. That's kind of my feed reader at this point. But this is a little bit more for the truly committed because you can really customize. It's a good reader.
Right. From Pastor Phil Huebner, he mentioned Fantastical, which is a calendar and reminder app. So this would be an alternative to the built-in calendar.
I've heard a lot of good things about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, from Drew Willems, he mentioned Cam Scanner mm-hmm. and the fact that you can use your camera to scan documents and customize them and add watermarks and make searchable PDFs and OCR and all this kind of fun stuff.
Puts it in Dropbox or some of your favorite note-taking apps. Yeah, it's a good app.
Yeah, so just some additions, so you don't just hear from me and Martin here on the Wellstay podcast.
If you'd like to share what's on your home screen, please do that. We'd love to hear that, especially in the next couple of weeks while we're still kind of on the topic. And if you just go to wellstech.wells.net and leave a comment there on the show notes page or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, or any other method that's not available on that page, it would be great for... it would be great to hear from you. So let us know what's on your smartphone's home screen and why. That would be great.
Excellent.
Should we move along, Sally?
Yep, we have some a ministry resource to share, Martin, an upcoming Bible study. And now's the time to make plans because you all can participate. This is our interactive faith online Bible studies that are done during on real time on Wednesday evenings. We're going to start up another round of those on January 7th. And so it's an opportunity for you individually to study the Bible or with a group. Perhaps you want to promote this at church. We do it twice each week at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. This time it's going to be led by Pastor David Scharf from Emmanuel in Greenville, Wisconsin, and he's going to lead a study on the book of Jonah. It's titled Breaking the Cycle
book
with
of Judges.
Grace.
We just did Jonah.
Sorry,
Jonah's the last
down here.
One. Yep.
You're right.
I stay in the J family.
That's right. So Judges, Breaking the Cycle with Grace. And so, again, you might want to promote this in your congregation and meet up at church. Perhaps you want to project the Bible study. It's like a streaming media event. So the leader will walk you through the study. There'll be resources available for you to have some breakout time, answer some questions, look at the Bible together and discuss it. And then the leader brings you back together as a group and talks through things as well. So I think it's a great format. We've had wonderful response. And if you haven't participated before, here's a new opportunity to do so.
Great. News and tech.
And as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's time to kind of reflect on 2014. So the best of lists have started rolling out, including the best apps. And we'll have links in the show notes to an article about Apple's picks for its top apps of 2014, as well as a link to the Google Play Store with the best apps of 2014. Interestingly, Apple's number one, I believe, was Elevate, which I think I've had as a pick of the week here on the show. It's a brain game kind of app, and it kind of modes to your abilities and things, prompts you on a regular basis to come back and train your brain, and it's just really high quality, very well done. others that are here I'm not real familiar with, so it's probably a good chance for us to add some things to our home screen, Martin, because there's lots here to check out. So
yeah, I noticed you had a whole folder on your home screen for puzzle games. So.
Yeah, I'm all about those puzzly type things.
That's good. It stretches the brain a little bit, exercises it. Not a bad thing at all.
So yeah, check out the links in our show notes and perhaps you'll find something new and have a little bit of downtime over the coming holiday vacation time that's ahead of us, and you can tell us your reviews of some of these new apps that are available.
Great. We are going to forego our normal feature of the tip or pick of the week, since we just kind of gave you a bunch of our picks, you know, that we're on our home screen, so that will return actually next year. We will not do picks, tips of the week over the next two episodes, but we'll start off the new year with one of our favorite shows of the year, kind of a year in review, our favorite tips, picks over the course of 2014, so you get that to look forward to.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it. We do have something that is kind of near and dear to your heart, Martin, to share in our Wells Insider segment this
week. On the Wells website and my blog in particular, blogs.wells.net/technology, I think is the shortcut. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. I'm republishing a series of articles that I wrote, probably 6-7 years ago, maybe even longer, called Christians Under Construction. And Christians Under Construction is a series of devotions, family devotions, that are focused on stewardship. So it talks about time, talent, and treasure stewardship, and it kind of takes, I kind of wrote it in a narrative of a family with different stewardship challenges, obstacles, opportunities, and takes, you know, 5 minutes to read. It's meant to kind of be read once a week at the dinner table with the family and with the kids, and kind of talks through, you know, the Gentry family and how they have had opportunities and illustrations and teachable moments about how God has blessed them and the Holy Spirit works through them for stewardship opportunities. So I'm publishing once a week. I think we're up to week 6. I took a little vacation there when I was in the hospital, but back on track now. So Christians Under Construction, if you're interested in a good, I think it's good, but it's a stewardship, a little devotional that you can use with the family, or even publish it in the, I've had a number of congregations say they publish it in their bulletin each week as an opportunity. I think I rewrote it again for my home congregation here in Hartford through a stewardship series that we did, so that's what I'm republishing there, so.
Well, I'm a happy customer. I have you in my RSS feed, so I was on to you when you started publishing these, and I think they're excellent, and
thanks.
Everyone would benefit from them.
I had fun writing them. Need to know a couple things that we've been talking about almost forever. Final Web training is coming up next month, and we still have seats available for you to sign up if you like. And Sally, tell the folks when that is and how they sign up.
You bet. It's January 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, and you can come to 1, 2, or 3 of those days. We kind of walk you through the Final Web system from top to bottom. So if you're inheriting a site or ready to tackle a new website for your organization, whatever it may be, sit with us through a Google Hangouts interface, so you can do it from your own location, and we'll just work our way through all the ins and outs of the system. You can get the information and sign up at bit.ly/FW training info, FW for Final Web Training Info, and we'll have that link in the show notes. We'll also have a link, Martin, to the Wells Tech Conference 2015, coming up before you know it, July 9th through 11th. This stuff's getting real. We're going to have our registration open up in a little over a month, and I'm just super excited about the lineup of speakers that we have lined up for the conference. It's going to be an excellent 3 days.
Yep. All for a very reasonable, you know, early bird rate. What did we say? $199.
That's correct.
And $225 after April 1st. But that's a bargain for a conference like this. And I would agree, Sally. I'm really excited about the speakers that are going to be there.
You can get information on this conference at wells.net/wellstechconf, and there's a place there for you to give us your contact information. We'll email you when registration opens up.
Great. So we'll move on to community feedback.
And a couple of things to share there. First up, a blog article I thought was interesting. You mentioned the Hymnal Project earlier in the show, Martin. It was a blog article that came out this week from Pastor Caleb Bassett. I think he's maybe the chairman of the technology committee.
Yep, he is.
And the topic was, there are no technical solutions to human problems. So for those of us that have technology on the heart, kind of built in a technology view of the world, this was just an excellent read. And the fact that sometimes technology isn't going to solve all your problems. You're going to need to address, you know, the learning curve and things like that to support people in their use of whatever the tools are that you're providing for them. So it's not always about a quick fix or a better system or whatever. It's about understanding which things should be addressed on a human level as opposed to with a technology solution. So good read for the technologist among us. Next up, a few links from Digo, two from Jason Schmidt. I really love Slides Carnival, free presentation templates, and these are Google Slides friendly. So, and you can get them into a PowerPoint too, I believe. There's instructions for that. But if you like a particular template that's referenced here, you can click on it and actually open the Google Slide. And let's say I'm going to click on the Google Slides link there at the bottom of the template. You can see all the different screens that are part of the template. It's
very high quality.
And then if you want a copy of it, you can actually go to the File menu and make a copy in your own Google Drive. So, and there's ways to apply this as a template to your presentations, your existing presentations, or whatever you want to do. But I think just super high quality. From slidecarnival.com.
So, yeah, I'd never heard of them. Those are awesome and free. Huh?
Exactly. So check that out, and thanks, Jason, for that. I also want to mention Jason shared a link to the Samsung Mobile App Academy. This is hosted on the Scholastic website, and again, super high quality. They have two different tracks of training here available. Guides for teaching mobile app concepting and a guide to teaching coding. And for each, you can get teacher guides, classroom presentations, and student material. Free downloads, super high quality. I think I have the App Academy teacher guide open. Gives you two different versions, Common Core Standards or Tech Standards. So you can open either version of it and walks you right through the process and what standards they're touching on, what kind of timing you need, what kind of guidelines are around it, all kinds of great resources here for teaching this. So check that out if you're looking to integrate more STEM in your curriculum. These might be easy ways to get started.
Very good. Thanks.
One more link from me via Digo is just to I don't know why that's here. That's not the one I wanted. Sorry, we're going to skip that one because I'm going to save it for another day. The one I want to show here is how to create custom maps from your Google Drive account. So integrated now with Google Drive. I tried this on my personal account and my Google Apps account, and I only saw this so far on my personal accounts. I didn't see it yet on my Google Apps account, but I would guess it's coming there.
Yeah, Apps is usually the last to receive some of these updates.
Exactly. So. But in Google Drive, there's a link that says when you click on New, where you would add a document or a spreadsheet or a form or a slideshow, there's a new link that says My Maps. And this is basically the ability to customize a map with points on it. And you can actually work in separate layers, so you can have students in your classroom customizing maps and doing it on different layers in a collaborative mode. Richard Byrne over at Free Technology for Teachers has recorded 3 videos that walk you through that customization process. Shows you all kinds of nuances that you can do on your maps.
Great for geography or history teachers, I'm sure.
Exactly. But, Martin, in the past we've talked about doing some of this mapping exercises for your congregation. So you can see the layout of where everyone lives and maybe right. segment it by different parts of the city that you're covering or that kind of thing. And it does have that capability of bringing in a spreadsheet of addresses and mapping those.
Yeah,
and
you have to use normally like a third party, like Batch Geo or something
right,
like that.
Exactly.
Here now it's built in right to Google Maps.
Exactly, and it saves in your Drive account. And they're embeddable, shareable, collaborative, all of those great things that we're used to with Google Drive. So check this out if you're looking for a mapping solution.
Awesome. Good find. I like it.
That's it.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, we'd love your contributions, so go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, find all the ways to connect with us. Please do consider contributing. Next week, we already referenced that as well, we are looking forward to a conversation with a number of individuals who have genuine interest in using technology to reach out around the world. So hopefully we're going to have a couple people from, not from this country, or at least not living in this country. They were probably born here.
But, serving.
That's right. Man, maybe one of them wasn't even born here. I don't know. But getting their perspective on using technology to reach people who don't speak our language, which is becoming more and more a thing, even in our own midst with cross-cultural ministry. So look forward to that. We're going to record an interview and then break that over the Christmas week and the New Year's week. So you'll be hearing that interview. We won't have our normal kind of extended show with picks and community feedback and such, but look forward to that. Remember, and because we're pre-recording this, there is no reason to tune in at 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon because Sally nor I will be here, or at least we will not be live, but we'll publish the show and it'll show up in your feed, video or audio feeds on Wednesday morning likely, so just look for that. We have a featured video this week, Sally?
We do. We've added to our music channel. We have a lovely Christmas-themed music video from Pentatonix. It's Mary, Did You Know? And it's just a beautiful rendition of it. If you haven't seen this one, I know there's a lot of Christmassy music videos floating around out there, but we thought this one was worthy of the Wells Tech music playlist, and that's a big honor for it, I know.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be real excited about that.
We'll have it embedded on our show notes as well.
Very good. Sally, I will see you at our next interview, which will be later this week.
I'm off to party, Martin.
Yeah, we'll call it a party.
I said I'm off to party. I'm hanging up with you, and I'm going to party with some ding-a-lings. I have a handbell.
I'm going afternoon. Home to try on my new slippers.
Uh-huh, so. Be comfy. That's
all right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.